You may be seated. Bye, you guys. Have fun. Praise the Lord. God is good. Father, we pray for Florida in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the authority you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the habitational authority that is there in Florida, Brother Keith, so many others. And Father, we thank you for safety. We speak to the spirit life behind that storm, and we command it to desist in Jesus' name. Jesus did it, and he said, greater works would we do, so we're doing it. We're speaking to it. It's already slowed down from us speaking to it, and it's going to slow down more in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God is good. Let's go over to Psalm 25:10. Psalm 25:10. We're talking about the goodness of God. We're still talking about it. I could talk about it from now till Jesus comes.
Amen.
He may have to hold off a little while because I might not be finished. Just kidding. I'm going to say some things to you tonight that are straight up. So visitors, forgive me already because I'm going to say some straight up things, and it won't be hard for you, but you'll get, I think you'll get where I'm going here. So Psalm 25:10, all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness. This is the Amplified Version. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and goodness and truth and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. So, you know, over time, I've gotten you to consider your walk with the Lord to be like a path. We use paths a lot around here, instead of rules. But, you know, it seems like it's just a lot easier to digest submission and doing the commands of God when you think about being led by a GPS.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen. When you think about God's positioning service, you know.
Yeah.
And so you understand, because he's not harsh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a good God. And basically for your life, if you'll see it as a path that he wants you to be on, instead of a bunch of rules that you're trying to follow, you'll get rid of that religious attitude. And so the Lord kind of instructed me to lead the house like that. It's just an easy way to be led. So if you go this way, you'll have what you want, what you're looking for. That's what God's basically saying right here. And so, three things about paths real quick. Number one, God has a way to lead us. Holy Spirit, leadership, things like that, the Word of God. Number two, he has methods of doing things that work. So when we tap into him, he'll show us what to do. And then number three, he possesses things in his very character that bring adventure, success, victory, peace, harmony, and rest. That's who he is. He's fun. He's up. He wants you to win, and he wants you to sleep good at night and be okay. Amen. So tonight, I want to get you to walk on the goodness path. And don't let your flesh get in the way, or you won't think this is that good.
Yeah, amen.
Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, so it said there's goodness and faithfulness and truth on the path.
Yeah.
Now, it also said there's loving kindness. Loving kindness, the King James used the word loving kindness. When you're going to look in the Hebrew, it's going to say hesed. I can't say it in Hebrew. I just, that said, you know, can't do that. I love how the Jewish people can do that. But the word hesed is covenant love. And it's so binding, and there's not enough words to describe what hesed is. It's just this loving kindness that wants to give to you, wants to get to you, is just, you know, looking through the window saying, let me in, I want to do this for you. That's how God is. He's aggressive about wanting to help us. I think religion has taught us that that isn't true, but it is true. So, God's committed to you. He loves you, and he can help you, and he'll work things out. He'll help you. But it's easier, church, if you get on the path. And that doesn't mean you're perfect.
No.
You know, you're going to get in a ditch sometimes. Things are going to happen. You're going to get off schedule a little bit. You're going to find. But here's the thing about God. He'll always help you get back on. So from the very beginning, God had a plan for your life. Now, he has a plan for all of our lives, and some of it's the same for all Christians. It's in the Word. And then he has a specific plan for you. And that's what you want to know. You want to have a good life. The goodness of God is something that fulfills the purpose for which it was created. If something's good, it fulfills a purpose. The fig tree is good if it produces figs. The peach tree is good if it produces peaches. And notice it also produces a seed to make the next generation. See, so God is good. He can create and be full of everything that makes things work. And he's offering that to us. He's offering his goodness. His goodness is tied to his glory. And that's where we'll be heading by the time we get to the end of November. We will start talking about goodness and glory as we continue. So your life on earth, when it's fulfilled, you've had a good life.
Amen.
Now, it's not because everything works out for you every day, but it's if you basically live the life that God has a plan for you, it's going to be good. You're going to enjoy it. And you're going to get free. So it said here, all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and goodness and truth and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Now, God is a covenant keeping God. He's a covenant keeping God. He'll keep his end. The testimonies here, did you catch that? It said to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Okay, so the testimony here would actually be what God bears witness is true. Whatever he says is true would be the testimony. So we live in God by keeping covenant. That doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means you choose to be, you make choices to be sold out to him. In other words, he's not just your Savior. You don't just have fire insurance. He's your Lord. Okay. So, and then the other side of that is that you agree that, that what he says is true. Amen. The path that, we would be walking in with God in covenant would be in covenant boundaries. We would stay within covenant boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. Y'all get what I'm talking about here. You stay in covenant boundaries and make his truth final authority then there. Doing truths. You actually do the word. Amen. You remember the scripture? Doers of the word. So what does that look like? What does it look like? So, well, it looks like just obeying the guide on the path every day. And I'm going to just say this to you. When you practice in the smaller things, you're going to get good at the bigger things. Because, you know, people give me a hard time and probably give some of you a hard time. Oh, you just think the Lord even needs to pick out what you're going to wear, you know, or, well, but when you practice in the smaller things, you'll know which way to go when you're going to make a big quality decision about something. And so that's why we learn to watch our mouth. We practice, we do these things so that we can become masters in faith.
Yeah.
And so the masters, they don't not practice when they run out on the ball field. Let's talk baseball here. They'll be throwing the ball, catching the ball, doing grounders, doing all that stuff every time they go out there. And they've been doing it for years. They don't go out there and go, I know this. No, they always warm up. They're always practicing. They're always working. So that's what we're always doing. Amen. I got to get down on this though. So, you know, we all know that we should be obedient. You want your kids to be obedient, right? Well, God wants his kids to be obedient because then life is easier on them. If you say, honey, don't run out in the street, and they're obedient, they're going to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, you know, if they're going to stay out of trouble, being obedient helps with that. It's the same way with God. He's not trying to take away anybody's fun. So we should obey God, and it's just a no-brainer. It's not religion. It's not legalism. It's relationship.
Yeah.
Now, What do we know about Isaac? We know that Isaac is Abraham's son, right? We know that he lived in Canaan. He lived there in the boundaries there. But we know that when he got older, that there was a famine in the land. Remember that? There was a famine in the land. And so he was checking out what he was going to do. He actually went down to Gerar. If we said that in English today, you'd hear the word Gaza, which belonged to Israel. And so he was headed down there, and the Lord said, hey, stay within covenant boundaries now. Go there, but stay within covenant boundaries, and I'm going to help you make it through the famine. Now, Genesis 26:12, you all can quote it, so let me just read it. Then Isaac sowed in that land, so he planted, and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the Lord, the man waxed great, went forward, and grew until he became very great. Okay? So the man prospered. He continued prospering and became prosperous. It's not just financially. His whole life got good. Things worked for him because he what? Stayed on the path. He just stayed on the path. He's on that path of goodness. He's in covenant with a God who is good. And so when you stay on this path, you're going to get great. Whatever kind of great you're looking for, you and God are looking for. It doesn't mean you need to go to Hollywood or maybe be a big preacher or whatever, but in whatever God's called you to do can just be great. Amen. So, you know, when working with God, you have to understand something. He will offer, but you have to accept. You have to accept. He's not pushy. And so then he'll give you direction and you can take a step and so on and so on. And never, he'll give you more direction and you'll move forward. So in seeking the Lord for this, we have certain truths that'll help us to receive what he has for us. And then we can do what he wants us to do. And so we move forward in that. And some of those things are general and some of them are very specific. And so you keep following as you know. So here's my question for you tonight. How good of a life do you want? How good of a life do you want? Well, I don't deserve it. See, you need to stop that. Jesus paid so you could have it. It's right. We didn't deserve anything, but now that he paid for it and we were born again, now we do. Now we have an inheritance, see? So there's a lot of excuses you can make up, but why don't you just spend some time in the next few days asking yourself, how good do I want my life to be? How good of a life can I really have? Because according to every scripture I know, it says that you can have a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Good means best.
True.
You can have a good life. It doesn't have to be full of trouble all the time.
No.
You know, stuff comes, but you don't have to stay in it. You don't put up a mailbox in the valley.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Amen. You move on through when something happens and I don't even call things valleys anymore. It just doesn't seem to me that we're in that many of them. But if you are, come out. Yeah. Now, how much goodness do you want? So according to Psalm 23, and we're going to talk about this on Sunday, you know the scripture, Psalm 23, that goodness and mercy is what? All the days of your life following you. Did you know that that word, the Hebrew word there is chasing? Goodness is chasing you. Mercy is chasing you. Right now, goodness and mercy, they're right behind you. They're trying to catch you. He's trying to give you a picture of how God is. Here, I want you to have this. I want you to have this. I want you to have this. Will you say yes? Will you accept what I have for you? Amen. And we'll talk more about that on Sunday. But see, here's the thing. You're the only one who can decide. Husbands and wives, I got news for you. You can't decide for him and he can't decide for you. You've got to decide. Your wife can pray you up, pray you down, do whatever, but you're going to have to decide if your life is good. Your husband can drag you to church or do what, but it's going to be you that has to decide. I can preach until I'm blue, but it's still going to be you that has to decide.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this past Sunday, I put my faith with you to see certain things that you're believing for to manifest in your life. There were 15 people who ran up here, and I said, I'll be here too. Y'all remember that? And we'll get around to everybody else who wants to do that. But my question to the 15 who came down here is, what have you done since we agreed with that on Sunday? What'd you do? Because here's the thing, there was debt freedom, there were vehicles, there were houses, there was a few other things in there, that, you know, it just depends on the person. And you might say, well, Pastor, you agreed with me on that, so that's all I've done. Well, that's interesting because I've already done more for you. I've already been thanking God for you. I've already been looking at it, say, thank you, Lord, that so-and-so has this. Thank you, Lord, that they said they had it, and now I believe they have it. Thank you for it. You know, you could put the car on the refrigerator. You could put a picture of the kind of house you want on the refrigerator. You go by and slap it and say, thank you, Lord. You said I could live good. But go in there and put a picture of you in good health on there. You may have to put your face on another body. Hey, that's a good idea. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe we could do that here. So we got to work on it. Yeah. So, but see, have you talked against it? Because once we believed we received it, you don't have to call for it anymore. You just have to thank God for it. You just thank God for it once we did it. So, but there now there will be some practical things that come along that you'll have to do. You know, we talked about the fridge. You would want to sow a seed. Amen. A seed of the word, maybe a financial seed, whatever God says. And then stay in your faith, right?
Yeah.
Now, those of you that I did that with, that I was your two, I'm your faith partner, but I'm not your rescuer. And the people you're working with, you're not really their rescuer. You can be their faith partner. You can help them as far as you can. This is what I wanted to get to tonight. And I know you're going to hear me on this. And I really think this is going to help us go into the goodness and the glory as a church. So, I really have seen that there are a lot of people who just want to be rescued. We see this right now in the natural, but I'm not talking about them, but they could have evacuated, but they chose to stay and now they're having to be rescued. You get the feel of that? Now, I'm not talking about the people down there, but that's happened in life where people were told to get out. Strong words. You need to get out, or you need to move, or you need to do something. And yet they wouldn't do that something, that they're crying out for help, but then they don't do it. It's kind of like that guy on the roof that he said, God, save me. And the helicopter comes and he says, I'm waiting on the Lord. You know, duh. So, things we've heard for years, but, you know, people just, well, let me just say this. I've been having some long talks with the Lord about some things, and he's given me some new instructions, church. And, I know where we're headed because of the Great Awakening. And I know what we need to do. And if I have to do it with five people, fine. But we're going to do it. And people that don't want to do it, we're going to be okay with. We're going to love them. But I'm going to say it like this. We're not going to prod people anymore. You don't want to worship? Fine. You don't want to pray? Fine. Not going to push people to do these things. But we're going to do it. So the Lord told me this. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is pretty cool. He actually set me up. I was thinking about this. And I had gone through these times of going, Lord, How am I going to help the people? You know, because we've had a few things where people needed help, but it seemed like it's always a rescue. Okay, so Proverbs 9:7 says, he who corrects and instructs a scoffer gets dishonor for himself. And he who rebukes a wicked man gets insults for himself. Do not correct a scoffer who foolishly ridicules and takes no responsibility for his error, or he will hate you. Correct a wise man who learns from his error, and he will love you. So in other words, what he's trying to say here is people that want to grow, people that want to learn will humble themselves and receive instruction. They'll take it. They'll actually receive revelation. Listen, and do something with it.
Yes.
Not hide under the radar.
Because we can
have a lot of things. Like tonight, we have a whole lot more people that come to Victory Church, right?
Yeah.
But how many people are just kind of hiding under the radar? I'm here, praise the Lord, yeah, faith. But what's really going on? What's really going on with people? I'm going somewhere. Follow me. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're the choir. You're here, right?
Amen.
So. People will not learn anything unless they're able to humble themselves enough to receive correction and direction. I just have a habit I do every day. When I go out and talk to the Lord, we have a little garden area, and I go out there and I say, Lord, now I'm telling you again today, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Whatever it is, I'll do it. Because being on that perfect path, you'll have everything. I had to lose my pride a long time ago. It doesn't matter what people think. I mean, obviously, you know, all that you see here, all of this, we're Word of Faith, we're prosperity preachers, I'm a woman, blah, blah, blah. There's all kinds of stuff that goes with the package. There's a lot of persecution. But I'm still doing what God told me to do. And so there's things that happen with you, but you're still doing what God told you to do. And so we go there every day. Where do I need correction? Well, the Lord gave me some. And you know what I told you? Somebody else was talking there. I told you a long time ago, church, I don't mind telling you when the Lord corrects me. I don't mind telling you when I'm wrong. We're all human. My father's in the Lord. They're really good at it. Yeah. They'll say, oh, I did. Yeah, let me tell you, you know, this is what I did. And the Lord, you know. So I learned that, and I want to be like that. Now, let's go here. Jesus didn't beg people to let him help them. Please let me help you. He didn't do that. If they came to him, if he walked up on them and they were there and they'd receive and they would accept, he would help them. He always helped those that wanted help when they wanted it. Sometimes we want to help people make positive changes in their lives more than they want to make them. We want maybe a kid or a grandchild or a friend or a neighbor or maybe see someone in the church who's just going through one thing after another, and you're like, wow, I wish we could help them, but they end up back at the same place all the time. Well, they just don't really want to answer that question of, yes, I will receive and walk in that path. Amen. So in such cases like that, we waste valuable energy that could be used elsewhere in a profitable way. So I found myself burning energy trying to prod. I lead. I don't push cattle. I lead sheep. Prod, trying to get y'all to pray, You ought to worship. You ought to say yes. It's not going to do any good. Because if you don't want to go, you don't have to go. But if you want to go, you can. Now the same with you. You have to take that for yourself with people around you. You can't prod people into changing. They'll stay offended if they want to. They'll stay mad if they want to. They have to make the choice. And so you're just wasting your energy. If you keep on and keep on and keep on, it's better to just pray for people. Amen. So, church, listen to me with a hearing ear right now. Because I've done that. I've really tried to do that with people. But I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. And I'm instructing Jesse and Deb and Nina and everybody that sings and leads worship. We'll worship. We're not going to prod people. Please worship. Please do this. You know, just raise your hands. Praise the Lord. If you don't want to worship, worship. Why would we want people to worship? Because when you worship God, goodness happens, and we all corporately go up into a glory place where we can all corporately enjoy the Spirit of God together, and then where you can just personally enjoy the Spirit of God together. And also, if you worship God in your house, well, you remember what happened to Cliff in Hawaii. And I'm not telling the story. You'll have to hear it another time if you're new. But when you worship God, things happen. And plus, why not adore the one who is so wonderful and so good and gave everything for us? Amen. So, but we don't want to, should I say, cast our pearl before the swine? Not that people are swine, but just the idea that if they don't want to, they're not going to. Y'all remember Elsie? This is what Elsie told me a long time ago. She said, Pastor, people do what they want to. And that's the truth. So you're going to decide what you want to do. The rest of our people are going to have to decide what they want to do. If they just want to stand and watch us pray in the prayer meeting, or if they even want to come or not. It's up to them, right? As much as I love everyone and I want the best for them, I'm done. Now, Joyce Meyer, God just dumped this in my lap. It was just perfect. Early this morning and told me to read page 68 of her book. And this is what was on that page. So tell me God's not trying to tell us something. Joyce Meyer spent 4 years trying to get her brother, trying to help her brother who was addicted to drugs. He appeared to want help, but he wasn't willing to do anything that required much effort on his part. She finally realized that if she spent 4 years trying to help, and that person is still not helped, they don't want help. They don't want help. You know what they want? To be rescued. I'm going to go the same way I always go. I'm going to do the same thing I always do. Come on. And then y'all need to rescue me. Yeah. I just want to be rescued. I just want a miracle. I don't want to put the word in. I don't want, not me, this is quotes. I don't want to do that. I don't want to try. I'm not going to do this. Y'all pray for me. Y'all do it. Y'all help me. I saw the coolest thing on the news today. It was a lady up in Appalachia. She was right at the edge of the mountains. They had been in the flood and everything. Just a little bitty woman. And you could tell that she wasn't anywhere in any wealth or anything, but she was a good woman. You could just tell she was a good woman. And she said, look, we're not looking for a handout. We're looking for a hand up. Yeah. Now, there's a difference there.
That's good.
There's a difference there. And so are we willing to give a hand up? Always.
Yes.
Always help. Always pray. In fact, we'll pray the rescue prayer with you.
Yes.
We'll be there. We'll do it. We've been praying the rescue prayer for a long time. So I don't want you to, this is not a speech about I'm throwing somebody away or I'm not going to do something for somebody. No, we'll be there. But my point is your life would be better if you would accept what God has for you and get in it.
Yes.
Instead of us having to, you know how much some of your kids have to do the dishes? How many times do you have to tell them to go in there and do the dishes? It gets old, doesn't it? Get in there. Go in. Go do it. Go clean up your room. Clean up your room. Clean up your room. Clean. It's tovu vavohu. Go clean up your room. Go clean up your room. Go clean up your room. But what if they just said, you know what, Mom, I'm going to clean my room. How much better would that be for them?
Yeah, for sure.
And everybody. And every, that's exactly right. And everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. Y'all sleepy? Some of y'all are blinking out on me. Okay. So, but people, some people just want to be rescued. And we can rescue people. But unless they learn to do what is right on their own and make right decisions on their own, they're just going to get in trouble and need to be rescued again. So it's sometimes it's just impossible to teach people who don't think they need to learn anything. They don't get it. And they're like, they have this attitude. Well, I know everything. I just know everything. Oh, yeah, we learned that back before you ever showed up, you know. Okay. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you did. Things are going to change. Don't take that wrong. Every level and kind of person is welcome here.
Always.
Every person. Green toenails to whatever. Doesn't matter. Somebody in here has a green toenail? Whatever. I mean, church pampers are coming, okay? That's okay. Baby Christians are coming along. But at the same time, I believe the word says you're supposed to grow up. And so when we have people that have been here for 20 years that still can't quote a scripture in your presence, there's a problem. And there's a problem, and I'm going to tell you, that's not my fault. I'm not taking it. And the devil would love to say, well, if you had done them right. Oh, no, no, uh-uh. No devil, no devil. Answer your pager, because I've done it right.
That's right.
I'm confident in that. But here's the thing. We want every level. We'll help you. We'll rescue. But eventually, you need to be the person that rescues. You need to be the person that helps. You need to be the person that has enough. Well, we've been here for 25 years, but we still can't give anything to the relief, you know, because there won't be enough. Well, what's wrong with that? Something's wrong with that.
Amen. Amen.
Well, you know, we don't have enough money to tithe. Oh, really? See, there's something wrong with that. That's part of the covenant. But I'll tell you this, whether you do or not, I don't care. I personally do not care except for the leadership and my staff. That's all I care about. For everybody else, I don't care. But I do care about you. I care about you winning. That's why we even preach about it. Okay, let me get down the road here. Let's talk about this because you'll get this real easy. For years, how many of y'all been here more than 10 years? Okay, listen to this. Tell me if you have this revelation. The Word of God is alive. It's alive. And when you eat it by hearing it, it causes faith to rise up. See, you're doing it before I even say it. It causes faith to rise up. The Word of God has the power within itself to bring itself to pass. How many of y'all have that in your heart?
Yes.
Okay, so if you tell me, Pastor, we've tried and we tried and we tried and I'm not healed. What am I going to tell you to do? Word. Word, word. Eat the word. Oh, you mean confess it? No, I mean eat it. Because if you are just confessing, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed, and it's not in here, then you're speaking out of mental assent. You can only reach God by the Spirit. You have to fill your spirit. Now, I've preached y'all that for 22 years or however long I've been here. Yet we still have people that need to be rescued. And when you ask them to start putting word in so they can get healed, they're like, well, we prayed. But if you're in a desperate situation, or you're broke, or you need something fixed, word is your answer. Holy Spirit's your answer. Getting delivered and getting help and even getting rescued could be your answer. But did you know that we don't live by miracles? They live by miracles in the wilderness. We live in the promised land. We live by the harvest we get off putting the word on the inside of us. So if you don't have a harvest, don't blame me, because I've been feeding you for years. I know this is pretty raw, but you've done it too. You've been feeding people for years. Most of you have fed this to people all over the place. And some of them are still, y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me. I got it. Well, get some word. It's what I love about Ron. Ron will tell people, this is what you need to do. You need to eat. You need to get this word. Here, this is what you use. Do this. Use this. Use this. Do this. Do it this many times a day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you won't do it, then don't blame us. Well, y'all didn't show up. We show up as often as we can. But we can't rescue everybody all the time. You can't. You have a life. You can't. You can pray. You can go when you can. But you just can't. We just can't be there. We don't have a huge enough army to be there all the time. We have a care people that do the care here. But what do our people who do the care do? They go tell you to get in the word. Because he's the answer. He's the answer. But do you see that? Do you see the difference in that instead of just rescue? Okay, we're here. We'll just pray for you. But you don't give them, you just gave them the fish, but you didn't teach them how to fish. So our answer when we're talking to people is that we want to give them word so they can eat it. Okay, here you go. Anybody know Popeye?
Yeah.
What'd Popeye eat? Yeah. Olive needed to eat some more. She's a skinny girl. But he ate spinach and it made him have muscles. You eat the word and you'll have spiritual muscles. And you'll get strong enough to say no to cancer or whatever it is. And we, in the past, we've talked and talked and talked. Are you doing the word? Are you doing the word? Well, you're doing the word. Are you doing the word? Well, you're doing the word in the world. And we buried people. I'm not doing that with another one of y'all. Let's do it. Have a good life. Okay. I mean, really, if you went to heaven, we would bury you. But praise the Lord. Okay. And please understand what I'm telling you here. I will always pray with you. I will always stand with you. If I can get to you, I'll come. I will. But we got to grow up and we got to say yes to the goodness of God. Amen. And listen, attacks come. We've all had attacks, but we don't have to live in them. The devil will come after you. He hates the word. But if you've been messed up for 20 years, you're not doing something right. You're not living in the faith life right. It's time to go ahead and stop hiding under the radar and say yes. Amen. Get the revelation. It's not confessing a promise. That has value. But if there's nothing in there that you're confessing, it's just middle ascent. All right. So here's my question to you. Let's go here. Do you want change? I do. My life's good, but I want to be better. I want to do better. I want more. Do you want help, though? Or do you want us to just be your first responders? Because I'll be that, but I want life to be better for you. I could be that. I could show up. I can love you. I can hug you. I can pray for you. I can cast the devil out of you. I can do all those things. But wouldn't life be better if if the devil showed up at nighttime and you could get up and say, no, in the name of Jesus, I have authority to tell you to get out.
That's right.
Wouldn't it be better if you did that? Or wouldn't it be better if you pumped yourself up enough in the Word of God that if you're attacked, it starts leaving you because you get so pumped up? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. The thing is here is, you know, you're the only one that can decide whether you're going to let goodness catch you. If you want to let goodness catch you, let him catch you. So, now we're going to start closing with this. We got a few more minutes, but I want to give you an example of something. A lot of people had me agree for debt freedom. So let's just talk about debt freedom for a minute. I'm debt free. This church is debt free. Okay. Some of the others here are debt free. You gotta get this. This is so easy. If you want to be debt free, stop charging. Yeah, but you all do it. Then do without. And I'm just telling you. Yeah, but we wanted to go on this big trip. No. Not if you got a charging, can't pay for it on a card. Listen, if you buy a house and you fell off and you couldn't pay the payments, you can give it back. If you get a car and you're not, quote, upside down, you can give it back. But if you charge on a credit card, you don't have anywhere to go but to give blood. I'm kidding. You see what I'm saying? If you want to be debt free, here's what you do. You make a decision. I am going to be debt free. I declare I'm debt free now. And you stand on that. And if you need to do plastic surgery or put your cards in the freezer, put them up until you start paying on that thing. Pay an extra payment on that thing. And God will come along and come over that and pay all that off. It happened to me years ago. We didn't make enough money to make it, so we charged. And then a friend of ours came along and said, you know, if you're going to, you better pay American Express off, pay an extra $60 a month. We made a promise we would do it. I think we did it for 2 months, got $100,000 a year jobs, paid the whole thing off, had money, came back, came here and started church. God overtook that thing because we said yes. Because we said we wanted the goodness. We wanted to live good. I'm saying yes, I want to live good. I'm not saying this. Well, Lord, I don't know how we would ever do it. It's not up to me.
That's right.
He said I could have a good life. He could said I could live in a debt-free house. I live in 4,200 square foot house and it's debt-free.
Yeah,
amen. It's not that big. I know. I'm not trying to brag. It's not very big, but it's big enough for me. Amen. See, you're trying to figure out how you're going to do that. How would I ever buy a house debt-free? God. And listen, if you bought a house and had to make payments on it, believe God for the payments. But then believe God to be debt-free. But it's the debt freedom from the credit cards you want right now. Because if you owe $60,000 on a credit card, I'm telling you right now, you're going to finish paying for it in 3011. You'll leave it for your children. You're like, well, what does this have to do with church? Everything, because you said you wanted to be debt free. I'm telling you how to do it. Here's the word. Start.
Start.
He'll overtake you. Well, I don't have any savings. If you saw my savings, it'd be embarrassing. Hey, start. When you pay God 10%, pay yourself 10%. And pretty soon, when you have enough self-control, you could actually have a card, but just don't ever charge above what you have in your savings account, because then you could pay it off and then you could build a good credit rating that you'll never use because you never want to be in debt, but it would be there anyway and you would feel good. You see where I'm going with this? I'm trying to give you some practical things about this. You want to be debt free? We can rescue you forever. I just have to stop. And you may have to say no for a year. But everybody else is going, no, I'm going to do this. And then God will overtake you, and before you know it, it'll be done.
That's right. That is right.
Well, that works for you because you're a preacher. No, it works for me because I'm a Christian and I believe God. And because I started, I tried, I wanted to do it, and He did it. There are a lot of pastors that are in debt. I wanted what some of you wanted, debt freedom. Why do we even want to be debt free? Because I want to be in the position where if God told me to go somewhere or do something, I don't have a covenant with anyone else except for some of my covenant relatives and, of course, God. And you with your spouse, you have a covenant with them and a covenant with God. But free to give, free to move about the earth. Don't want to be tied down. Don't want to be tied down as the awakening gets into full speed ahead. Don't want to be tied down when things have a few bumps. Amen. Okay. So, y'all got it. I know I'm preaching to the choir. So, make a decision, start a plan, and God and goodness will overtake you. Okay? So, that's just a good example. Now, as we close, I'm going to tell you one thing. God gave us a conscience. We have a conscience. We have Holy Spirit, and we have conscience. And we can be both light the way, both of them. You have something in here about you have a conscience. Unless you have a weak conscience or a seared conscience, you can talk yourself into, I forgot. Oh, you know, you can excuse yourself all the time. But if you get real with yourself, you're going to have to look in the mirror and say, hey, you. You're going to have to face up to this so you can get started on the right path and quit hiding under the radar. Because you're not hiding from the devil. You're not hiding from God. You may be able to come through the doors and go, oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. And you're out there crying the rest of the time. But you're not under the radar any other way. I mean, you are under the radar. Sorry. Whew, glory to God. You're quiet.
We're thinking.
Now, so I'm going to finish. Acts 24:16 says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now, I put this in here so y'all couldn't be mad at me after I preached this. No, I'm kidding. Conscience is that process of thought that distinguishes what it considers morally good or bad, commending the good, condemning the bad, and so prompting to do the former and avoid the latter. Webster says, a faculty, power, or principle enjoining good acts, or faculty of conviction. Dake says, sensitive regard for fairness or justice. So your conscience will help you do the right thing. Okay? So your conscience guides your free will. Stay with me. We're going to stop in 2 minutes. Danny told me this, that Keith Moore told her this. And I love it. Now listen, if you didn't get anything else I said today, I want you to hear this is going to help you with people, okay? This is going to help you with the people that you're working with, talking with, dealing with. This is what Keith Moore said. He said, if they won't listen to their conscience, they won't listen to you. If they won't listen to their, if they don't feel bad about what they're doing, if they don't want to be in the corporate move of God, if they don't want to worship, if they don't want to tithe, if they don't want to pray, if they don't want to do anything, then we'll just love them and go on. No prodding. Because if their conscience isn't bothering them, it's either seared, it's either weak, it's something. They've gotten under the radar. They've gotten a, what would you call it? Just like a callus. And they're like, I don't care. I ain't doing it. I don't care. You ain't going to boss me around. Well, we don't care about bossing you around. We want you to live good. Listen, I have a call and a mandate to bring you from milk to meat. That's the call on my life. To raise up godly leaders. That's a call on my life, among other things, the glory of God, things like that. Preach the goodness of God. But you pick the level that you want to live with, not me, not these leaders, not the praise and worship leaders, not the staff, not those who know how to pray, not Danny, not Patty, not Pastor Hector, not Pastor Deb, not Pastor Bert, not Ron, not just you. You decide. You decide how far you want to go with God. And we'll be right there with you and help you go all the way. But it's your decision. And right here, I'm kind of preaching to the choir, so I'll say it's your decision. It's your decision. You've got to decide yourself whether you're going to be able to humble yourself enough to learn and go ahead and get the revelation. I'm thinking, and you can agree with me or not agree with me, but I'm thinking that the people who don't understand that thing I told you about, revelation of the word being alive, haven't heard it because they won't listen, because they think they know everything. Is that too hardcore? I'm just telling you, people are like, oh, yeah. I'm like, no, you need to get this. This is life. It's life. But we're not going to prod. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. We got 30 seconds. Right now, the skill that you need to work on the most is prayer. Prayer. You need to up your skill because we're about to go into the most unusual time in history. And we need to be watching everything that's going on. We need to be watchmen on the wall. And we need to pray for America and for Israel. And we need to do it now. And you need to know how to pray. I hear people praying silly prayers. You need to get deep enough in God that you're praying what God is telling you to pray. Where you can pick up things, where you can hear things, where you can say things, that things come up in your spirit and you know you need to pray about that. And you just didn't get your prayer from the news. You got it from this news. And you're praying what needs to go on. There are things that are about to happen and we're going to have to be watchmen on the wall, because once something happens pretty soon, can I just be bold and tell you, all hell's going to break loose with the darkness. Because we're about to win. And when we do win, all hell's going to break loose and try to stop us from winning. And we're not going to let it happen. The awakening is going to come in and pour in. I mean, they're trying to set things up right now, but it's not going to happen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Get your skill of prayer going. Well, Pastor, I don't know what to do. We have books. You could actually pray out of some of those books, Brenda Kuhneman books, those kind of things, prayers that avail much. Get those books and pray out of them if you could only pray in English. But if you can pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Well, I only have yabba-dabba-doo. Well, keep going and you'll have more. Amen. Y'all still love me? I'm just telling you, most of what I've told you tonight is God changing me. And I hope it changes you. Don't waste your time prodding people. Just love them. And pray that they'll get out of just wanting to be rescued. That they'll want to pick up and do something themselves. Amen. You received this tonight? Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, I just thank you that you tell us secrets. And you invite us to pray things that can change the world. And so I just commit to you that I'm upping my prayer skills. And I thank you, Lord, for those that are praying, those that are going to go pray with Miss Billy. I thank you, Lord, for those that are going to pray from here. I thank you for the people that will come and pray on Sunday night. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to have a good turnout and people are actually going to pray for America. I thank you for it, Lord, because they care. Not just going to hide under the radar. They're going to come up here and say something. I thank you for it, Lord. And Father, we pray for the internet audience. We pray that they'll say yes to the path of the goodness of God so that you can just give them all the wonderful benefits that you have for them, Lord. And you have so much for them. We thank you for it. Father, we thank you that we are going to see miraculous things in the next few months. We pray for the protection over all those who need it. We declare that we're protected in the name of Jesus, and we declare great victories for this church, the churches around us, this community, the pastors around us. We thank you for them. Father, we thank you for protecting those who are running for office and so on and so on. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's receive our offering. No more prodding.
No more.
You know what Brother Copeland says? Brother Copeland said, he said, now here it is. It'll work for you if you do it. If you don't, it won't. Good night. Now, you know, you say, well, that's a really tough attitude. Sometimes you have to get a little rough with people. Sometimes you have to needle them a little bit and just say, are you going to do it or not? I mean, does the coach go, come on, honey? No, they say, come on, get out there, catch the ball, let's do it, let's get up there, let's do something. And I go, now, if you want to, try not to get knocked down. Father, we thank you for every tither and giver. Come on, in Jesus' name. If you'd like to give via text message, you can give to VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift, and you will be blessed. As well as we will be blessed. Thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for all the tithers and givers. And we have plenty.
Yeah.
And we're grateful. And I think I told you that I sent some money for the relief for North Carolina. So you have sent some money. And we're going to send some more too. So praise the Lord. God is good. All right. Well, I hope I didn't keep you from sleeping. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up. You know, this is a time where we just have to make ourselves go to school, you know, on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Hey, I feel the same way you do.
Yeah.
I'm at home at 4:15 and we're about to leave. We have to leave at 5:15. And at 4:15, I'm going, oh, I worked all day. But this is what we do.
Yeah.
We do it.
Y'all made a quality decision.
I made a quality decision a long time ago. Once you make a quality decision, you'll keep doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you, love you, love you.